Hey everybody, I want to talk today about being poured out. We're literally just back from a missions team and for 2 weeks on missions to South Africa. And during that time, we literally tried to pour ourselves out. And I feel like today God wants to encourage us and remind us that we are to live our lives poured out. Here's what it says, 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Maybe you've been riding at your granny's house. Maybe you've been riding at somebody else's house and you've noticed these jars that maybe sit in the mantelpiece or maybe sit on the worktop or some are precious in the cabinet. And many of them could be made out of clay or some other precious material like that. But what you find is that these jars of clay are actually really fragile. Like if you drop them, they break. They're not plastic. If they get hit too hard, they get damaged. And we're a bit like that. And in fact, that's the way God describes us. He says, guys, you are fragile. Your life is not secure. I mean, you've got to put your trust in me and then suddenly I will be your security. That the outside of us, it's really, really hard to keep ourselves from being hurt or keep ourselves protected. The only real way to do it is to either trust God or put walls up. And of course, here's what Paul writes. He says that your life is really like a jar of clay, the exterior, you're a vessel. But what's inside of you is this surpassing power that belongs to God and not to us. It's the life of Jesus. It's when we give our lives to Christ, we suddenly have been poured in and we have something that's uncontainable. And yet God decides to reside inside of us. And the big question I want to put in your heart today is this. What are you wasting your life on? I mean, what a crazy question to think about. But what are you wasting your life on? Maybe for you, it's silly thinking. You ever had those silly thoughts? You know, those thoughts at 2 a.m. in the morning and you're saying to yourself, what am I here for? Or you're going through your day and you're getting discouraged and you think all these silly thoughts like, I'm no good at this. I'll never be any good at this. Or you've got a bit of imposter syndrome. Like, what am I doing here? You know, and all of those thoughts can go. They're very, very real. Or maybe for you, it's like you're wasting the future with the past. Think about this for a moment. You're wasting the future on the past. You're still thinking about the past, still living in the past, still have regrets in the past. And yet, what does God say? We've got to draw a line on the past. Ask for forgiveness, give it over to God, accept that it happened, and get ready to move forward because you cannot live in the past. You've got to be in the present, looking forward to the future. Or maybe, and the list is not endless, it might be an opportunity you've got an opportunity, but you're just not taking it. So you're wasting it. You see, all of us have lots of different opportunities in life, and many of us have many different things that we can waste our lives on. But what are we wasting our lives on? I love this line. I thought about it recently. One man's trash is another man's treasure. In other words, you might bring something to the charity shop, and then before you know it, you're like, that's my jumper, and somebody's walking down the street with it. Or we were in South Africa and they were telling one of the missionaries was saying, you know, we fixed up our van. We had it for our kids. We spent so much money on it. And when we got it fixed, we sold it to the church. And I was like, uh-oh, this might have went too well. But 2 years later, the church came back and said, that was the best van. It never broke down. It was incredible. And how many times have we seen that where we passed something on that we were done with, we'd had enough with. And then the next person, it becomes their treasure. Well, we were in safari in South Africa, and I saw an example of this with the dung beetle. And I want to introduce you to my friend called the dung beetle. And if you've never seen a dung beetle before, get on Google, get on YouTube, and check it out. But this tiny little beetle, it turns out that he is one of the strongest, if not the strongest, insect and even animal in the world. In fact, we were in South Africa, and what we noticed was we were looking up for lions, we're looking for elephants, we're looking for all these different animals that we could see in the safari. But what did we notice? On the outside of our truck, along the path with these tiny beetles, with these massive rolls or big balls of dung. And I thought about this trash and treasure, and I thought, what one animal threw away, this dung beetle absolutely loves. And it turns out that they can push over 1,000 times their body weight. What an unbelievable reality that they can take this thing and move it. And of course, the dung beetle takes it. He plants his eggs in it. He eats it. He loves it. It's like his whole world, this ball. And you got to see it. So get on YouTube. But it made me think about what it's like for us, where your trash becomes someone else's treasure. Or maybe you feel a bit like trash and you say to yourself, well, you know, what good am I, or what good will I be to anybody else? I want to tell you that God sees your life as treasure. That God does. No matter what anybody else says, God sees your life as treasure. And for me, a lot of the times I think of it like this. Your life is a seed and you've got to bury it in the ground. You've got to plant it. And it's not comfortable and it's not nice. And maybe for a season or two, no one notices you, but you've got to realize it's all about perspective. It will feel like you've been buried, but actually you've been planted. So I want to play a bit of a game just for a minute and try and draw our attention a tiny bit more into this. Trash or treasure. I want us to play the game and say, okay, I'm going to give you a description, or I'm going to give you a title, and you're going to tell me if this is trash or treasure. So here's the first one. Missions trip. Come on, I know nobody's going to tell me trash, but at the same time, is it really treasure to you? Is it really? You know, we've heard the chat before, why go on a missions trip when there's so much work to do back home? And yet the biggest thing I'm convicted on, and I've seen over this last 12 years of going on missions, short-term missions, is that what happens on mission accelerates your growth for back home. 1 week on missions is like 1 year back home. 2 weeks on missions is like 2 years acceleration back home. It does something spectacular. It speeds things up. It accelerates things. And it reminds us that it is possible to live every moment of every day dependent on God and watch how he's going to work through your life. And that's what you see over and over and over again on missions. But when it comes down to it, the way you live your life, is it a case of, I love missions, and so I put my treasure there and I put my time there? Or is it a case of, I love the idea of missions, but really it's trash to me? I know this is harsh, but I want us to be real just for a moment. Maybe for you, it's sponsoring someone. Again, I love to sponsor some people, but I either do it and it becomes my treasure, or I just like to think about it. And really, it's just trash to me because it's not something I do. It's the last thing on my list. Or maybe it's spending time with Jesus. And again, I'm not trying to condemn you, but maybe in some ways we'll convict our hearts. If it's our treasure, then we spend time with them. If it's not our treasure, then we don't. Maybe it's taking an hour to pray, worship God. Maybe it's once a week. Maybe it's once a month. Hopefully it's once a day if you could manage it. Not every day can you. But if you don't do that, is it really your treasure? Come on. Again, we're trying to challenge our hearts. Or sharing your faith. Or praying with someone. Over this last week or two, we've had the privilege of praying with so many different people. I want to convict you. I want to make you think. I want to challenge your thoughts. What are we doing with the treasure that we have? What are we wasting our lives on? So I want us to think about three stories of waste from the Bible. And of course, I'm using the word waste as something ironic. I hope already you're beginning to realize that. I don't mean waste as a highly negative thing. I mean, you're going to have to put your time somewhere. You're going to have to put your life somewhere. And for some people, it look like waste. And for others, it look like investment. And it won't be till we get hindsight that we realize how big and incredible the magnitude of the investment was. And realistically, we'll probably never fully know until we get to heaven. But here's what it says in Luke chapter 15, 13. It's the story of the prodigal son. If you don't know the story, incredible story, you should go check it out. But the base of the story is that there's two sons. They've got a dad. He's got lots of money. And the sons work for the dad. And then eventually one day, the younger son says, Dad, I need my money. I want my inheritance. Give it to me now. I want to go and live my life. It sounds pretty normal. It sounds like what many of us can do. But in verse 13 of chapter 15, it says this. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings, moved to a distant land, and there he, and watch for the word, there he wasted all his money in wild living. See, what he did in that moment was he says, Dad, give me all that you've gained in a lifetime, and I'm going to take it. And not only did he take it, but he wasted it. He took it all and he lost it. He took something that he didn't have and he lost it because he decided to live selfishly. He was left with no options. And the only one option that he had left was humble pie and go back home. That's what it was. But can I just grab our attention for just 1 minute before we get too hard on the prodigal son and say, Can't we all be a tiny bit harsh on the prodigal son? Is it possible that we could be a tiny bit harsh on him? Because how many of us live exactly the same way? Like, we're promised in the Bible, goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our lives. Every morning, I've got fresh blessing. Every morning, I've got air in my lungs. Every morning, I've got the endless possibilities of, if I would trust and believe in God, what would ever be impossible to me? And yet, what do? I go to my work, I go to the gym, I live my life, I do my own things. We could be far closer to the prodigal son lifestyle than we realize. The only difference is, for many of us, we haven't just run out yet. We've maybe become better at holding on to it a tiny bit longer. But in terms of our effectiveness for the gospel, in terms of our effectiveness for Jesus, come on, let's not be too harsh, because, I mean, whatever sword we kill him with is the same sword we're going to have to fall on. So he took all the father had given him and he goes off and he uses it for his own benefit. That sounds an awful lot like us. We take all that the Father has given us and we go off and we simply try to live for our own benefit. Come on, church. That's not who we're going to be. Come on, vibe. That's not who we've been made to be. Second story is John chapter 6, verse 12. This is the story of feeding the 5,000. Again, these are stories that we absolutely love in church. And yet God's always doing something fresh in you in these stories. But the story of John chapter 6 is there's 5,000 men. And they haven't brought anything to eat. They've come to hear Jesus. And there are women there. There are children there. There's the guts of 15 to 20,000 people there. But they've come to hear Jesus. The problem is they've got no food. And Jesus begins to have compassion on them. The disciples want to send them away. But he then finds a boy with a packed lunch. And there's something in the lesson of this boy, in the life of this boy, we've got to grab our attention with. He gives what he has at the expense of himself, knowing full well he'd probably not eat. And yet Jesus takes his packed lunch, prays for it, asks the Father to bless it, and suddenly it feeds everyone. What an incredible lesson. But here's where we pick up the story. In John chapter 6, verse 12, after everyone was full, notice they're full, Jesus told his disciples, "Now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." Wow, there's that word again. Jesus has just had an incredible supply of abundance. I want you to get this, church. I want you to get this vibe. You know, there was no chance of anyone eating, and now suddenly they've ate that much, there's leftovers. It went from none, nothing, to abundance, to leftovers. It went from nothing to send them on home, they're hungry, they're empty, to full bellies, and now we've got a problem with leftovers because they've ate so much, but there was still more. There was still more. From full to leftovers. And I guess that what Jesus is trying to show now is there's a test in this. What will you do with the blessing? Will it just always be about you, or will you use it to help other people? And I think the story of the leftovers was this. The disciples were going to go and just be like, okay, Jesus, we've done our thing. Let's move on. But Jesus doesn't give just enough. He always gives more than enough. And the lesson of the story of the leftovers has to be, it's not just about your life. It's not just about the blessings that God pours into you. What will you do with the leftovers? This is just as crucial. If you remember from the story, it was 12 baskets left over. 12 is a significant number. I mean, every disciple could pick up a basket and go, uh-oh, this is how Jesus works. There's leftovers for everyone. This is not just about us, guys. When are we going to figure this thing out? This is not just about us. We've got to live for something more. And for us in our world, we've got to realize this. Number one, you're not a leftover. You're not a waste. You will become somebody's blessing. You will. You don't bin leftovers. You preserve them and use them for blessing later on for someone else. And then on the other side for us is that we've got to be people that are not just praying for our own blessing. We're not just people trying to live our own lives, but we are people that recognizes there's blessing for you and there'll be blessing for other people. And every time I bless you, says the Lord, I will not just bless you, but I will provide provision so that you can be a blesser too. Think about this, vibe. Think about how God has set this thing up. He always is trying to get us to become more like himself. He's not just trying to meet all of our needs. He's trying to abundantly bless us in every way of our lives so that we will learn to be like him. We will learn to do greater things than him. And so you may feel like your life doesn't matter, or you may feel like you have to hold on to everything for yourself. But I want to tell you, don't miss out on the waste. This time, waste was important. And Jesus said, nothing is to be wasted. Nothing. And then the final story is Mark chapter 14, verse 4. And let's read this one. It says, meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany. Picking up in verse 3, it's the story of Jesus going to Bethany, the home of Simon, a man who had previously had leprosy. While he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume made from the essence of nard. She broke open the jar and poured the perfume all over his head. You may never have had an alabaster jar made from the essence of nard. You might have Gucci. You might have Boss. You might have all these different sprays and fragrances. But this is what the woman brought Jesus. And she poured it all over his head. Wow. She's taken something precious to her. And now she's literally wasting it on Jesus. Verse 4, some of those that were at the table were indignant. Why waste such expensive perfume? They asked. It could have been sold for a year's wages and the money given to the poor. So they scolded her harshly. Wow. Watch out as you would pour out on Jesus. Watch out as you would live your life for Jesus. Watch out as you would give away for Jesus. Some people are not going to be happy. Good news, you're not doing it for them. Verse 6, but Jesus replied, leave her alone. Why criticize her for doing such a good thing to me? You will always have the poor among you, and you can help them whenever you want, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could and has anointed my body for burial ahead of time. I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deeds will be remembered and discussed. Wow. Imagine a story of waste that Jesus says will be told basically forevermore. She doesn't realize it. And no one could have known, only Jesus at this point. But she's just prepared his body for burial. Because remember, Jesus didn't come to serve, but he came to be served. He came to serve. He came to lay his life down. He was on a death mission from day number one. He knew that the culmination of his whole life was to go to the cross and to set the captives free. All he was doing up until that was just many versions of breakthrough. But ultimate breakthrough would come on the cross. This is where we live, church. This is where we live, Vibe. We live on the other side of the cross. We live on full breakthrough. We live on full transformation. We live on sin fully defeated. And Jesus is trying to grab our attention today. He says, imagine this lady, a whole year's wages, let's just say 25, 30,000 pounds or whatever it would be in your context. That's a lot of money. And she turns around and she wastes it all on Jesus and people get angry. I want to tell you a story about a friend of mine that I met over in South Africa. Her name is Anita. Anita is an incredible lady. I met her in the base in Musenberg, the Y1 base. Early 20s, became a qualified teacher. She's from Canada, originally from Asia. And she spends all of her summers just traveling the world and enjoying the sights and the sounds of the world. And why not? Because you've worked hard all year and you've got some money. And she told me that she was the first one in her family to really get some money. Before that, they were really, really not, I don't know, hyper, but they just had enough. Now she has more than enough. And then one summer, about 2-3 years after graduating from university and being a teacher for 2-3 years, she goes to India and she meets one of her friends and ends up in one of the Y1 bases in India. And she's there for a couple of days, and she's never seen or heard much about this before, but she said to me, she's like, wow, this was cool. And then they were just about to move on and go on to their beach holidays and continue on with their holiday. And their friend said, oh, but like, wait, why don't you come with us to the countryside? And she's like, the countryside? They're like, yeah, because the school is fun. That's where we get trained. But the countryside or outside is where the mission actually happens. Why don't you come and check it out? And so she goes, they go to this very small village. A very, very small village. I think the church had only just begun or was limited in some form. And then the pastor turns around and he says, Anita, but the real dream is, and he shows her this field, and it's a small field, but he says, the real dream is that we want to build an orphanage and a school. And she's like, oh, wow. And he says, yeah, we want to. And she says, hey, what would it cost to build that? He said, about $10,000, 10,000 Canadian dollars or US dollars, whichever it was. And it gets into her heart and it gets into her head. And she says, you know what? I feel like we could do something like that. And so they go away. And about a year later, she comes back to the same place in India and hands over the check. And I'm sure at that moment the pastor was flabbergasted. But what happens next is that Anita takes the next 10 years of her life and she wastes it on 40 kids in the middle of nowhere in India. A qualified teacher, first one of her family to actually make some money and get out from underneath herself. But something captures her heart in the middle of India for 40 kids. And you're like, but who cares about the 40 kids? But I tell you what, isn't one worth it? And for 10 years for 40 kids, she lays down her life. And now I get to meet her at 35 and she tells me this extraordinary story. And I'm like, wow, what a story. What a story. And we chat a bit more and we discuss a bit more and I learn a bit more and I'm inspired a tiny bit more. But what I'm blown away by is a bit like this lady today in the story in Mark chapter 14. Here's another lady, but it wasn't just a year's wages, but it was the equivalent of 10 years' wages. And she lays down personal wealth, personal ambition, personal dreams, personal ideas, because someone gets a hold of her heart, Jesus. And 40 kids get a hold of her heart in the middle of India, who she's got no connection to, but her heart begins to move and she decides to waste her life on those kids for the next 10 years. Can I just say, I'm not sure if it's a waste. I'm not sure if she wasted her life. In fact, I think she probably did one of the greatest things that you could ever do, which was to fully pour out yourself for the benefit of other people in the pursuit of being like Jesus. And remember what happened. Why criticize her? Jesus said, for doing such a good thing to me. Why criticize her? Why think bad of her for doing such a good thing to me? And guys, I want to encourage our hearts today. Where's our India? Where's those 40 kids? Anita finished off with a final dream, which was one of the babies who first came to the orphanage is now 10. And my dream, what I'm working through at this moment, she said, is I'm trying to get a visa for the 10-year-old to bring him to the school in South Africa, I think where it is, where they're going to teach this 10-year-old more about Jesus, because I want her to grow up with the same kind of love and grace and mercy that I did. In fact, I want her to do greater things than me. I'm like, wow, what an incredible person to meet. Very similar to the woman from the story in Mark chapter 14. And so church, what are we going to do with our lives? Where are we going to waste them? Where are we going to pour them out? You see, they realized in that moment that just perfume compared to Jesus, there's no comparison. But to some other people, they don't understand Jesus. They don't understand who he is. They've never figured it out yet. But for this lady, she poured out the best that she had on Jesus, led by the Spirit, because really, isn't he worth it? I mean, Jesus died for us. That's priceless. And so what are we going to waste our lives on? Is it going to be ourselves? Is it going to be someone else? I mean, come on, we do this all the time. We fall in love and we pour out our best gifts on the ones that we love. Or could it be Jesus? Mark chapter 8, verse 36, for what will it profit a man or a woman or a kid if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? You see, you can waste your time, your energy, your love, your money, or you could pour it all out on Jesus and the people that he calls you to. See, right now today, I feel like God just saying, I'm giving it all to Jesus. That's the heart posture. I feel like that's what he's asking us to do. Would we be the people that would just give it all to Jesus? Maybe it's a reset moment for us. Maybe it's one of those moments where something begins to happen in us and we reset our hearts and we reset our desires and our dreams. And every now and again, you need those. I mean, the world had a huge reset in terms of COVID, where we were able to stop for a few months, even a year or so, and start to rethink all of what we wanted to do. I mean, the saddest part is many people rethought the idea of church in the sense of going to and decided they didn't really need it or they could get it somewhere else. Guys, what if at this moment God's trying to get our attention? He said, what are you wasting your life on? And would you waste it on me? My final heart cry to your heart is, where is your India? Where is your India that God needs you to pour in for the next 10 years, or maybe the next 20 or the next 30? Anita and I had a prayer time together and we prayed together and I shared some prophetic words with her. But I was very aware that for Anita, the next 10 years could either look completely different as God calls her to something completely new, because I know she's going to follow after the heart of God, or she's going to go back and dedicate the next 10 years. And now the story is not suddenly about the girl from Canada who led down 10 years in India. It's now about this incredible lady of God who's led down 20 years, half of her life in pursuit of the kingdom of God, half of her life for 40 orphans in the middle of nowhere. You see, until you figure this thing out and until you start to realize how precious life is, you go, it can't be worth it. Come on, this girl's got an incredible life to live. This girl's going to do this. Why waste it on 40 orphans in the middle of India? But that's when you're not thinking right. When you start to realize that it's not about you and it's not about your life and it's not about this or that, but in fact, it's about Jesus. And isn't every life worth it? And the idea that you get to lay down your life for 40 orphans in India, what an incredible privilege. What an incredible privilege. And look, I challenged her. It is not easy. There's not much to eat. There's not much money around. It's not easy to make it happen. But when you're in the will of God and when you have poured yourself out, is there anything better? Is there anything better? So my challenge today as we go to pray is, what's the better thing that you're pouring your life out on? If it's not Jesus, what's better than him? If it's not Jesus, what is it? Because no one keeps what they have. Everybody's wasting it on something. Everybody's pouring out their time. Everybody's pouring out their money. Everybody's pouring out their energy. Think about it. You couldn't keep time if you tried. It always ticks. It's always going. The only thing you can do with time is decide what to do with it. You can't make more of it. You can't keep it. You can't hide it. You can't lock it up. It's always ticking. But what will you do with your time? What will you do with your life? Where will you waste it? If it's not on Jesus, tell me what would be better. If it's not on him, show me how anything else could be better. I want to challenge your hearts. I want to ask the Holy Spirit to convict our hearts today and say, hey, there's nothing worth more than wasting your life on Jesus. Come on, we're going to pray. Lord, I thank you today for your goodness. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that each one of us are just feeling the incredible presence of Jesus, the incredible presence of the Holy Spirit. And I pray today that you would bless us, encourage us, equip us. But Lord, I pray for that challenge of, where am I wasting my life? Come on, where's my India? Where's my 40 orphans in a sense? Where's God called me to? It's going to be way better than you realize. It's going to fit perfectly for your life. And it's going to be more than you can possibly imagine, dream, or think. And so Lord, I pray for the challenge. I pray for the dream. I pray for the reality of, come on, let's not waste our life on silly things, on things that don't matter, on insignificant things. Let's waste our lives on Jesus. Lord, thank you for the example of the lady in the story of the alabaster box, 25,000 a year's wages. Everybody else was mad. Nobody else got it. But what she was doing was something incredible. She was pouring it all out on Jesus. Holy Spirit, I pray we would pour it all out on you. And I pray today for anyone who doesn't know you or hasn't put their trust in you, have never their sins forgiven. I ask you right now, Lord, as we would say yes to Jesus right now, then instantly the sins would be forgiven and they begin a journey with you, with your help. You don't come ready. You come just the way you are. And I pray, Holy Spirit, you would move on the rest of our hearts, on everyone's heart. Move us forward in the things of God and let our lives never be the same again. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.